Senate Bill 53, an act to revise certain provisions regarding the reunification of an abused or neglected child with a parent and the subsequent termination of parental rights.
Senate Bill 53, having had its second reading, is up for final consideration. Are there any remarks?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Michaels.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen, yesterday I burned out my microphone, it looks like, so you're going to have to look at me from this angle. I want to start out this discussion on this bill as saying that I appreciate all the efforts that the Department of Social Services has put in bringing this piece of legislation to us, and also to Representative Van Norman for his astute legal eye on some elements here from an experience that he has had personally representing folks. And he has an amendment on your desk, and to call it a friendly amendment would be an understatement, and I'd encourage you to adopt that at the appropriate time. In a nutshell, what this legislation does is makes the ability for courts to remove abused and neglected children from their homes to ensure safety. It's an issue that a number of us have worked on over the years, but let me set the background for you. Federal and state laws require that state courts determine whether or not the states must make reasonable efforts to work with the parents and resolve the problems that have caused these children to be removed. And this includes a whole range of things. And over the years, as you have probably debated personally and as we've debated on the floor, really, what should the court take into consideration? What kind of heinous acts or actions of parents should be taken in prior to terminating parental rights, in other words, not having to always take the children back into the home. Now, South Dakota, we currently have laws that include a list of circumstances which you can apply to this issue. Now, there are indeed a lot of discretionary points to this, and the court has the ultimate discretion. This is just what I would call a menu of what the court can determine as the judge he or she determines based on the circumstances. Now, the court's discretion will not be modified. And, you know, as I was thinking about this morning and going through the bill, I thought, you know, you can read the bill and you can read the language. But the piece that we were the most struck by, I think, and I speak for your State Affairs Committee, are the examples that the Department of Social Services brought that this would address. And I could tell you it was riveting. And if you would bear with me for a minute, I'll read some of the scenarios that this very well would address. There are currently over 1,000 children. If you think about that, ladies and gentlemen, 1,000 of our South Dakota children in the Department of Social Services custody because of needing protection from abusive or neglectful environments. One aspect of this bill, and I would call it sections paragraphs 3 and 9, the new ones, I'd like for you to picture this. There's two little boys, and they're ages 2 and 3 and a half, and they're living with their mother and her boyfriend, and the two-year-old was brutally beaten by the boyfriend at home and was pronounced dead upon arrival at the hospital. The boyfriend was arrested, and the 3 and a half-year-old was placed in foster care. The mother denies knowing about the abuse and agrees to sever all ties with her boyfriend, and she agrees to cooperate with the criminal investigation, et cetera, et cetera. Contact with the boyfriend continues, however, and in fact they marry 3 months later, and during this time Child Protection Services is required to provide reasonable efforts to the mother to determine if reunification of the 3 and a half-year-old is appropriate. Now, the mother was later arrested and prosecuted on felony drug charges and conspiracy of being accessory to this felony, and her husband, at this time her husband, was convicted and sentenced to 38 years. Currently, the reunification process would need to be undertaken. If this bill passes, it would not need to be if the court so determined. Paragraph 4 is a new provision regarding incarceration. In 1997, in February, Social Services had a mother and a father and a 4-month-year-old baby. The father was arrested for a burglary, and the mother was driving the getaway car. And the baby was in the back seat of the car. So the baby is placed with the grandparents. Father receives a sentence for 20 years in prison and be eligible for parole in 2007. Now, the mother's sentenced to 4 years. While in prison, she gives birth to a second child. The child is also placed with the grandparents. Mother is released on parole 1.5 years later, and the grandparents return her youngest child to her in April. Child Protection Services becomes involved again when the mother is arrested 4 months later for stealing a car. Now, it's 3:30 in the morning, and the baby's in the back of the back C. The mother's parole is violated and she returns to prison with a release date of June of this year. The grandparents are not a placement option because of a number of factors, so the baby is placed in foster care. And it goes on and on and on. In subparagraph 8, the new two or more removals, here's the scenario that this could address. Three young children living with their mother and her boyfriend. The mother is pregnant now with her fourth child. Mom's boyfriend physically abuses the two-year-old little boy. Now, the children are removed but are later returned because the boyfriend has left the house and the mother agrees to protect the children and agrees to work with social services. Now, guess what? During an unannounced visit, the boyfriend is discovered at home and the children are removed for the second time. Now, the mother again agrees to work with the children and child protection services, and the boyfriend is now in prison for violating probation. So she's given yet another chance. The mother is not able to parent and care for her children. The neglect issues are serious and they're private, so we can't discuss them. But the new baby is diagnosed with a condition called failure to thrive. And if you've ever seen it, you would not have a dry eye. And the children are then removed now for the third time with continued reasonable efforts, because that's what the law requires, and they are not successful. Finally, and I would submit probably most tragically, this is subparagraph 3, what this would address. There's a small infant who's brought to a local hospital with the following injuries. And I'm not going to read them to you because it would upset your stomach, but it's sad. The doctor's diagnosis is that this is a shaken baby syndrome. Child Protection Services is ordered to provide reasonable efforts to the parents in this case. The Department of Social Services has over 1,000 children in custody today, as I said, and we should invest in those families who, with our assistance, have the ability and desire and motivation to keep these families together. You know, ladies and gentlemen, we should not require the children spend half of their childhood in foster care waiting for their parents to get together, especially since there are a lot of people out there who'd love to hug one of these children. I appreciate your support of this bill. I know the people of South Dakota do. And again, I encourage your support of the Van Norman Amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further remarks. Representative Van Norman.
Mr. Speaker, members of the House, I've circulated Amendment 530A. This amendment just goes to the standards that are spelled out in the paragraph 3 on page 2, which wraps over. And what it does is it takes the word abandonment and qualifies that to what's already existing in state law to make clear that that abandonment will be for a period of at least 6 months. That's what we already have in the statute. And also, further on, defines neglect and specifies that if the neglect was a serious threat to the safety of the child or another child. And what these amendments do is try and make clear we have clear statutory authority that people will understand when they're out working in the field with this law. Thank you. If you have any questions, I'll be by.
We need a second on the motion. Further remarks. Further remarks on the motion, Van Norman motion to amend. Hearing none, those in favor of the Van Norman motion to amend 530A will say aye.
Aye.
Opposed nay. Motion carries. 53 is so amended. Further remarks on the bill as amended? Hearing none, the question for the House is the final passage of Senate Bill 53 as amended. Those in favor vote aye. Opposed nay. The clerk will lock the voting machine and members proceed to vote on final passage, Senate Bill 53.
Representative Gillespie. Representative Gillespie. All members present have voted.
Clerk will display the vote.
Mr. Speaker, there were yeas 68, nays 1, absent 1.
Senate Bill 53, having received majority vote of members elect, is hereby declared passed. Questions on the title? Hearing none, the title is deemed agreed to.